we gather is continue to address the issues between food production and food consumption. It is a Thursday already, the first Thursday of April. Susan Bradford, are you ready for spring?
I'm getting there. I think it's been a very eventful year so far, but I'm getting there. How about yourself?
Well, I don't have my potatoes planted. And the old Farmer's Almanac says that if I don't have them planted by April 9th, I'm going to be in trouble. So I think as soon as you and I are done here today, I'm going to go get my potatoes planted.
That's wonderful. I've just started planting a garden, but the weather has been not really very spring. It seems to be too cold for spring. So I don't think I'm definitely ready for it, but I'd like to see the weather, change accordingly.
I should have actually given you an assignment because that's what you tune in for. Trent will give you an assignment. But now I understand that we have 15 states, even though 15 states are not directly involved, who have declared a state of emergency for the solar eclipse, which is going to happen on Monday, this coming Monday. What is the need for a declaration of a state of emergency?
That's a good question. I haven't followed it too quickly or too closely because my sense is that this is another, psyop or some type of drama that the elites are trying to focus our attention towards in order to deflect attention from somewhere else where it should be. So my position has been that whatever will happen. And I think the elites have also spoken about the impending nuclear war that is allegedly going to wipe out the entire United States. So I think that they are trying to distract us for some reason. I have faith in God and I'm taking one day at a time. Do you have any insights into what's happening with the solar eclipse?
No, I don't have any insights, although I do believe there's a tremendous amount of biblical emphasis. It crosses right over Little Egypt in southern Illinois, which is interesting. But the other part is that we're starting to see some, and this is way overdue, we're starting to see some small earthquakes around New Madrid fault mm-hmm. in Illinois, southern Illinois and Missouri. And that is the core of where this thing goes over in the center of the country. So I don't know. I'm really looking forward to Monday to see what all comes about. But I'm sure you brought a wealth of information today that was not tied to the solar eclipse. Maybe we'll have to talk about that next week.
It's possible. I'll definitely look into it for you. I do know that Israel apparently is trying to identify the red heifer and to bring in their third temple. So I don't know if that in any way corresponds with the solar eclipse. I should probably look more into the background of it.
You're the second person in 2 days to tell me that they're going to look more into the red heifer and get me information about that. So there's something going on with red heifers, no doubt about it.
True.
Unrelated, I posted a picture on Twitter yesterday of a group of my red heifers grazing or eating hay. Just that's my red heifer influence.
Well, they have to be perfect specimens in order to fulfill prophecy.
Well, I guess it defines who's defining a perfect specimen.
That's true.
It'd be a perfect specimen in the eyes of God.
That's correct. That's true. Unblemished is their word, but I think unblemished in the eyes of God also suits.
Yeah. So. I also did do a little bit of Susan Bradford kind of investigative journalism work yesterday and looked at the history of foul plague. Mm-hmm. I call it foul plague before we called high path avian influenza, we called it foul plague. And there is a direct tie to gain of function research and when this situation became a real issue. But in my world, Susan, it's consumed my last 3 days because I see where the federal government is going to try to say that this situation that incubated in Texas is something much bigger than it actually is.
And are you anticipating a cull of the chickens, the poultry potentially?
Well, actually, it was positive in cows. And the big deal has been that, why has this jumped to cows? And as of 8 o'clock last night, two people have tested positive. But the symptoms are minor. The two people have pink eye for a couple of days. And the cows have flu-like symptoms for 5 to 7 days and then go back to life as normal. It's a lot of to-do about nothing.
That's true. And I do know that the elites do create viruses in labs, which they inject into animals. And then they try to play up the viruses, hoping that they can use that a situation, to cull animals or to get acquire further control over farming and agriculture and so forth.
Spot
I don't
on.
know if
That,
that's one
that's
of those
exactly
situations.
what's happening right there. So, what did you have on your mind today?
Well, speaking of viruses, I wanted to speak about Robert F. Kennedy and his role within the international money laundering and international crime syndicate. And this ties directly into drugs because the Kennedy family was anointed the by the elites, by the Rothschilds, to be the public face of the national crime, the respectable face for the national crime syndicate and for drug trafficking. And I can go into some of the history of this and also tie this into why Robert F. Kennedy is assuming the positions that he is. On the one hand, he's opposed to forced vaccinations. And on the other hand, he's trying to legalize pot and provide experimental psychedelics for children, which is very kind of worrying to me.
Well, I do have personal history with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. I assume you're now speaking about Jr.,
I'm
not
talking about
Senior.
junior.
And the reason I became acquainted with him was because he was taking on modern day agriculture. And he was taking it on modern day agriculture. And so this is relevant to your discussion because he got caught with heroin in the Sioux Falls, South Dakota airport in, I
Interesting.
believe, 97 or 98. And part of his penalty was community service. And so he chose to do community service for the Hudson River watershed. And in the process of doing that, he determined that people were very sensitive to the environment and how water plays a role, and then formed the Water Keepers Alliance and then started targeting farmers. And I said I wasn't going to stand back and let this happen. But it all started because of a situation with heroin.
Yeah, heroin is one of the drugs that the elites are trafficking into the United States, and they're doing this not so much for the money, though. Drug trafficking is very lucrative, but they want to soften up the country. They want to weaken our minds, our bodies, our communities, in order to make us ripe for conquest, for imperial conquest, and that's the role that that RFK is playing. But if you'd like, I can go into some of the background of the
Yeah, when
family
did that
involved
start
in
within
this.
the Kennedy family?
Well, it actually started with the father, Joe Kennedy. And Joe Kennedy was, he worked with the Rothschilds from the very beginning. He understood that if he wanted to fulfill his ambitions in politics with, as an Irishman, Irish Catholic in a nation dominated by Protestants, he'd have to join forces with the Rothschilds. And so that's what he did. So as a younger man, he became a partner in a group called Hayden Stone, which is an investment firm in Boston that is tied to the Rothschilds. And so he was instrumental in bringing forth and kind of linking the British film industry with the American film industry through Hollywood. So he allowed the British to provide and Rothschild to provide propaganda into the United States. And the propaganda was geared at loosening morals. They wanted to weaken our, moral resolve in the country. And of course, Robert F. Kennedy is doing that through Curb Your Enthusiasm, through his wife, Cheryl Hines, who was the wife of what's his name, the main actor, Davis. I can't think of not you need know, the Seinfeld character. I can't think of his name. Larry David.
Oh, Larry David, okay.
So that show is very much geared at it's under humor, under the guise of humor, geared at weakening more the morals of the country, making us more accepting and encouraging of poor morals. So Joseph Kennedy became involved in the illegal bootlegging industry. He helped import the British liquor into the United States. He was aligned with a group called the Rhinefeld Syndicate, which was 50% owned by the Bronfman Gang. And the Bronfmen, as you know, are connected to Epstein, which in turn are connected to the Rothschilds and the Crown. They're part of that National Crime Syndicate. Now, among his supporters was Winston Churchill, the Prime Minister of England, who was a Rothschild bloodline. And Winston Churchill approved Joseph Kennedy's British distillery franchise for the US market. And he provided the investment capital by way of Lazard Brothers. And Lazard Brothers is again tied to the Rothschilds. It was owned by the Churchill family in large part. And the group owns the Financial Times, Economist, and other merchant banks. So Joseph Kennedy was, he began to kind of position himself within this drug industry, for, within the National International Crime Syndicate. He became an ambassador to England during World War II.
So, Susan, with that, I'm going to
Yes.
say he became an ambassador to England when we get back
Ambassador
with more Susan
to the
Bradford,
UK.
Trent Luce
Okay.
after this. Quickly reminding you that Certified Piedmontese creates the most tender eating experience you can have on the planet, and tender beef anyway. Here's the best part of the deal. You don't need to go to the store. We deliver the tender beef to your door. These Great Plains cattlemen work at generating a consistent supply, and it's up to you. You can go grain or grass-fed. Go to the website. You'll find out what I'm talking about. 100% Great Plains beef, cpbeef.com. Welcome back. Roll Route, Trent Luce, alongside Susan Bradford. We have dug back into the history of the Churchills and the Kennedys, and Joseph Kennedy just went to England to become an ambassador for the United States, which would be a good place to kick in your bootlegging liquor business, I would think.
It would be, and of course, they were very much involved in working with the drug trafficking, money laundering industries. The British were under Rothschild control, were imperialistic by design. So, of course, you're familiar with the Opium Wars, where opium was used to soften up China for conquest. Mao Zedong, the who led the Chinese Communist Revolution, was also a Rothschild bloodline. He in turn used drugs against his own population to soften them up and to render the country vulnerable for conquest. So then you have Joseph Kennedy, who married his daughter Kick Kennedy into the British aristocracy. She married a duke. A duke is one position below the monarchy, so that puts him at the very top of the British aristocracy. So he was thinking, in order for us to have a political dynasty within the United States, I've got to align myself with the Rothschilds and their agenda. So he groomed his children for the role that they would play in the political stage. One was, of course, JFK. John F. Kennedy was tutored by the head of research at the Royal Institute of International Affairs in England. And what we look at that institute as being like a think tank on par with the Council on Foreign Relations. It provides like the marching orders for foreign policy. But another thing that it did is it was a front group for the international drug trafficking. So they mapped out all the different drug routes throughout the country. And so once he became president, John F. Kennedy was the first to begin to, I think it was in the 1961, he signed into law legislation that would authorize the vaccination of children. So he was beginning this process. Now, Ted Kennedy was possibly the worst offender. During his election for the Senate in 1976, his top contributor, financial contributor, was Joseph Lindsay, who was a pal of Meyer Lansky. Meyer Lansky was the head of the International Crime Syndicate, who worked with Fidel Castro to map out drug routes throughout Latin America. Ted Kennedy had also rewritten immigration law to coincide with what Kissinger and Mao Zedong wanted, that of flooding the country with trouble by way of a lot of hostile immigrant forces. And so we have now the immigrants coming up in from Latin America with drugs through a process and a system that was actually set up by the Kennedys. Lindsay was on the board with Lansky on the International Airport Hotel Systems, which was connected to Resorts International. That was a casino in New Jersey, connected to the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, Mossad, and Trump. And they were heavily involved with trafficking pot and cocaine through Latin America. So you have the Resorts International Station, one of their stations on Paradise Island, that became this is called the Silver Route, which was the triangle that the DEA, the Drug Enforcement Agency, has said has provided up to $7 billion a year in narcotics in Florida. They flooded the state with drugs. And how are we on time, Trent? On
We're
time.
good. We're halfway through this segment.
We are okay. So you have, I guess, Ted Kennedy was a senator. He led the efforts towards drug legalization, like the legalization of pot. He was also the senator who provided coverage for the pharmaceutical companies so that they could not be sued in the event of injury. And so, you have, the Kennedys very much involved in drugging our children. Now, among the groups that has endorsed,
So, we'll stop a minute.
go ahead.
So that liability was removed during the Reagan administration. So that would have been the 80s. So Edward Kennedy was the one who spearheaded that.
Yes, he was.
That's news to me. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Okay, I just want to clarify that we had jumped to the 80s before that because I knew that particular legislation happened in the 80s. And what you've already said that's just fascinating is that so many times we think we're in the middle, we know we're in the middle of a spiritual war, but you have the forces, all the forces on one team here,
You
because you've
do.
already mentioned the Jewish cabal, Mossad. You mentioned the Rothschilds and the Catholics, and I mean that brings them all together on one team.
It does, and you have the Vatican, which is controlled by by the Rothschilds, is Catholic, but it's also heavily embedded with the Mossad, with supporting Zionism. And you're right, they're all there, on working on one page, and therefore you can see, why Zionists like Steve Bannon, why my General Michael Flynn, Roger Stone have been supporting and promoting Robert Kennedy. He's like the great patriot who will lead us to the promised land, but they're all part of the same group that is working on behalf of the shadow interests and in turn are receiving either, financial or political or professional rewards, for that service.
One other thing that I personally know about Bobby was that during this campaign, when we were playing our dog and pony show in the early 2000s, he lived in New York City, even though his family is obviously everybody knows is from Massachusetts. But he about 2010, he moved to Los Angeles and still lives in Los Angeles today, which speaks interestingly to your tie to the Hollywood situation. I'm going to call it a situation.
It is a situation. Hollywood has been transformed into something that the most of us don't even recognize, and a lot of actors are wanting to get out of it, but the actors have become tools and weapons against the American people. Like they're promoting agendas on behalf of the City of London. And of course you'll always see actors smoking and doing drugs, and they are provided and supplied drugs to encourage all of their fans to then follow suit and then take drugs to become cool like them. So the drug industry is promoted through Hollywood, which is which operates as a propaganda arm on behalf of the City of London.
And the other thing you're about to lead me into, which has always intrigued me about Bobby because of my personal experience, is that they have always taken on the Bush cabal, because I'm going to call the Bush family a cabal. And well, I just knew that all tied back to what happened with the CIA and John F. Kennedy in that day in Dallas. What led up to that? I have a
That's true.
sense you're about ready to bust that.
Yes, that's a thank you for reminding me of that. So I think what you are witnessing is different factions within the American political establishment vying with each other for ascendancy and control. Because the Bushes were very much tied into the drug companies as well. George H.W. Bush was, of course, a member of Skull and Bones, which was established at Yale University, a secret society. Yale University was founded by Eli Yale, who was a member of the East India Company, which was trafficking opium and drugs around the world. George H.W. Bush worked with Alvaro Harriman to kind of he was working with to set up help set up the pharmaceutical industry. And I believe that Bush served on the board of Eli Lilly, which has invested in the churches to kind of provide retreats for church pastors to indoctrinate them into kind of supporting pharmaceuticals, like to encourage their congregations, and which is I know what they did during the Obama administration, to support Obamacare and to to become vaccinated. So again, like the churches have been weaponized by the Bushes on behalf of the pharmaceutical industry, but they've been but they but I think Bush targeted the Protestants, whereas I think Bobby Kennedy was of course working more closely with the Rothschilds and the Vatican. And my sense is that H.W. Bush did try to buck the Rothschilds in part because he was originally aligned with the Nazis and with the Rockefellers. So I think that they had kind of a different, they were kind of competing with each other against both with, they were working with the Rothschilds, but also kind of competing for market share against them or
Well,
for ascendancy.
to your point, his father, Prescott Bush, actually contributed money and was convicted of contributing money to the Nazis.
That's
And
correct.
that company, by the way, just to make it a little more dynamic, is now known as Bayer, the aspirin people who also purchased Monsanto, who are in the pharmaceutical business competing against Eli Lilly. But they purchased Monsanto from Eli Lilly. How about that?
That's interesting. And you
No,
have
I
this.
misspoke.
Go
I
ahead.
misspoke, and I got to fix it when we get back with more.
Okay.
There was a, well, I'll just fix it when we get back with more. Roll route second half just ahead. Let's talk about controlling pests in the field. In this case, we're talking about Apache sprayers. Simpson Farm Enterprises from Hays, Kansas handles the southern half of the Great Plains of America, well, from Nebraska south. It's High Plains Apache from the Nebraska line north. If you would like to get more information about the reliability, the service, the technology, whatever innovation that you want to control weeds, go to simpsonfarm.com. Welcome back, Roll Route, Trent Luce, pulling on some old history. The old files are coming up, but you know how your computer just spins a little longer, Susan Bradford? These are some files I haven't been tapping into up here in Monongah for a while. So I confused a product for the company. Eli Lilly, which owns Elanco Animal Health, did the development work for bovine somatotropin, which is BST. That was a component used in the dairy business to increase milk production by dairy cows. That was purchased by Monsanto. And then repurchased back by Eli Lilly, Elanco, after that spun off took place. Then Bayer purchased Monsanto and acquired all of the seed ingredients, particularly the genetically modified seed genetics, is what I'm talking about. So my confusion was the BST product within the Elanco system that now still exists with Elanco, but Monsanto is owned by Bayer based in Germany, who was financing the Nazis, and George Bush's father, Prescott Bush, was convicted of financing them. So I got everything all straight now.
Very, very good. And of course, the Nazis were using chemicals against the Jews and other people they deemed to be undesirables. And can you confirm whether Monsanto has in fact put chemicals in foods like corn that can increase the prospect possibility of infertility, like what they're actually undermining the health through foods?
So, first of all, most people don't realize that Monsanto no longer exists per se because Bayer purchased Monsanto. So, your real question is, does BT corn, which is a fungus that was put into the corn plant so that it had a resistance to glyphosate, which is what we know as Roundup, as it's applied, it does not kill that particular product. Does that have a contributing factor to infertility? I cannot verify that. I know that a lot of people say that it does. I know that where the work needs to be done, Susan, is that the reason that glyphosate works on crop production and maintaining a control of weed is that it changes chemically the structure of the soil. So the question then should be, does it deter soil health? And
Correct.
if it does deter soil health, I've never believed there was any harm to humans from consuming any product, which, by the way, there's only about 13 that are approved to have glyphosate applied to them. And hardly any of those are consumed by humans, but there's a few that are. If it has that same detrimental effect to soil health, what's it doing to gut health in a human being? Because your gut, the bacteria, work exactly as the bacteria in the soil, promoting soil health. So those are the questions you're asking me. And I do not have anything to verify that that is true, but I do have a big question that I would like to have answered.
That's a very good point. And of course, if your gut health is undermined, your entire immune system is also
Correct.
undermined. Do you know, I don't know if you would know, I thought I would ask, do you know why why oil or why corn product is injected into oil or used for gasoline?
Well, yes, I do, because of the starches that come out of the corn itself ferment very well and produce, with some degree of efficiency, ethanol. In fact, the Model T Ford, as Henry Ford designed it, first ran on gasohol, and gasohol was corn that had been fermented into alcohol.
I didn't know that. I was under the impression, it might be a false impression, that the corn kind of it undermined the durability of the engine. It created some
There's
mechanical
a
problems.
tremendous amount of thought that it's not best for engines, but that bigger engines kind of tolerate ethanol. But anybody in my world does not want a percentage of ethanol in small engines, say chainsaws or weed eaters or lawnmowers, because anybody who understands engines say that it will just destroy the seals and it's going to shorten the life.
Well, that's very interesting. Yes, so I think all these different factors do come together. And you have, like you mentioned, these different mergers and acquisitions. Back in the day, once upon a time, we did have a very rigorous and effective antitrust division within the federal government. And I think now we have the illusion of companies competing against each other. And I think at the end of the day, they're ultimately controlled by the same forces, at the highest levels, and they're being used and advanced for a very similar purpose.
I could not agree with that sentiment more. People don't recognize. I mean, just take basic food ingredients. You go to the store and get some processed food, whether that be ketchup or be Wonder Bread or whatever it might be. They're all owned by 3G Capital. They're all owned by the old Heinz family that ultimately John Kerry married into. And now they control 28% of global beer sales and majority of the processed food that's available on the store shelves. There's very little competition in this food and beverage industry.
Yeah, that's very true, and I think therefore they can play one company off another, and they can use those companies to advance a social agenda. And I'm thinking of the beer company. I think it was Anheuser-Busch, where they were trying to promote the trans gender agenda, and the public reacted by rejecting Anheuser-Busch and going to a rival, purchasing rival beers. But those rival beers were still owned by the same parent companies. So ultimately, the beer distributors and companies weren't harmed
You just
financially.
hit a real pet peeve of mine, because I don't know how many of my friends who quit drinking Bud Light because they're not going to take this. We're not going to have a transgender thing representing the beer I drink. I'm drinking Busch Light. Oh my goodness. Busch Light is not even a cousin. It's a sister. Busch Light is an Anheuser-Busch product, which is owned by 3G Capital. And there's everybody going, oh no, Anheuser-Busch is owned by InBev. Yeah, InBev purchased a Danish company, did an overthrow of Anheuser-Busch, but then 3G Capital, with a Brazilian base, purchased all InBev products. And the other thing that happened was, way back when in the Super Bowl, there was an ad when Coors Light and Bud Light were taking each other on, and one said, we don't use any corn products in ours. And so then the other one comes out the next morning with a campaign that says, we support the Iowa farmers. At that time, Miller, which owns all the Molson Coors products, and InBev were all in the same umbrella. Now, they have since split, but there was internal fighting that wasn't even real. They just made it look like they were fighting to give one brand a leg up over another.
Unfortunately, that is, that is very, very, commonplace today. Yeah, it's tragic because we no longer have a real free enterprise system within the United States, and the markets are, managed and controlled. But I think, going back to RFK, he has led the efforts to use experimental drugs on young people, on children. He said that psychiatrists and counselors should be able to use pot and psychedelics on children, for experimental purposes. And to me, that not only is he trying to expand the market share, but he's intentionally really undermining the health and wellness of our children. He's contributing, to societal rot. I think there have been a number of studies that have shown the long-term damages on the health and minds of children and adults who use pot and other drugs. It shouldn't be decriminalized. We should, be eliminating the need for it, and we should be promoting practices, that keep our population, strong, healthy, and competitive, that reinforce the familial unit.
Yeah, it's just amazing to me that a guy who has openly, as long as I've personally known him, promoted getting off of vaccines, period. Vaccines are a problem, a toxic problem to our nation, can promote other drugs, which maybe have short term, have greater implications than long term, than the other drugs do long term.
And I think that, he may have, and I don't know Bobby Kennedy personally, but he may have come out against vaccines, knowing that the freedom movement, of which he has aligned himself, would be opposed to any overreach of governmental authority. So he kind of jumped ahead of the curve to push back against mandated vaccines, which was actually coordinated by the Republicans at the higher levels. We can maybe go into that at a different time, different show. But the Republicans who are aligned with him now, like their financial networks, were the ones who were behind these vaccine mandates, because they were on the payroll of the pharmaceutical companies. So he's pushing back. And I also found there was a group called a Wellness Company, I believe, that is peopled or connected to the same individuals that were behind the vaccines. So on the one hand, you have a group that is promoting drugs as a counter to all of the pharmaceutical companies, to provide, to help generate wellness among the populations. But those same companies are working with the pharmaceuticals who push the vaccines in the first place. So again, you have, both sides being controlled, both hands being controlled by the same puppeteer, and working, two sides against the middle.
I kind of got caught in some of that, to be honest, Susan, because after COVID, I should say after 2020, we had this whole American freedom movement, which I was somewhat a part of, and aligned myself with some of the people who are standing for medical freedom because I believe in medical freedom.
I do too.
But it turned out that the people who were championing medical freedom were doing exactly what we're talking about right here. They were promoting a facade, not necessarily what it is that they believed in. I'll give you a case in point because I was directly involved with America's Frontline Doctors. Simone Gold is Jewish. And when I found out that the majority of the budget from America's Frontline Doctors came from massive, I'm talking like $35 million worth of donations from Israel,
Wow.
I was like, wait a minute, what, why? Why is Israel, who did not have any medical freedom during COVID, funneling millions of dollars into the United States American freedom movement? There's something beyond this. And so that's when I started asking questions and wanted to do a deeper dive. But that deeper dive will take place in the last segment of Roll Route. Susan Bradford, Trent Luce, we're back with more after this. Nitric oxide is an essential element of healthy living. Dr. Nathan Bryan has all of the science behind this. Just take my word for it as a layman, somebody who has used a nitric oxide supplement every single day. Why? It improves cardiovascular health. It improves mental clarity. It improves everything that the blood is responsible for. Get my drift? You better, because I continue to see all of these ED ads for people who have problems. If you got a problem, Let's address the blood issue. Because if you got a problem there, you got a problem with your heart. And the whole concept behind tying up statin, using statins to tie up cholesterol, is ill-guided and causing problems. NO2U.com is the place you get all of the details and science I'm talking about. NO number two, letter U.com. NOTU.com. Trent is your coupon code, and that gets you no shipping. In today's world of shipping, that's a big deal. NO2U.com. Trent, coupon code. Welcome back. Roll Route, Trent Luce, alongside Susan Bradford joining us, investigative journalist. And we've gone like in multiple rabbit holes today, Susan.
We have. Well, I think you left off with the freedom movement. And I think, as you've seen, the freedom movement is aligned with the Zionists, who are very much anti-freedom.
100%. I 100% experienced that. And I see people continuing to be out there championing. Here's the last thing I'm going to say about that movement, which wasn't a movement at all. It was just pilfering the public for profit. And in doing that, people continue to have big gatherings and thousands of people come together and they talk about the tyranny and they talk about how they've lost medical freedom, which I agree with. And everybody who shows up agrees with. The problem is they never give you any tools to go change it. They just say, they close every meeting with, and next month we'll be in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I'm like, no. What am I going to take home so that I can make a difference in my local community? It just became this big money machine on people gathering in the name of freedom.
I think that's true. They're wasting everybody's time, money, and attention. I mean, that was a period when the public was paying attention, and these so-called freedom advocates could have been, as you said, could have been providing solutions to them and could have been actually leading them in the right direction. But I think what they were doing is providing a catharsis. So you can all get together, speak, kvetch, and then you feel that, okay, the problem has been solved, and then you move on to the next thing when the problem hasn't been solved. The agenda is continuing on.
And you've already named three of the puppeteers who were pulling the strings and generating the momentum in the way that they wanted it. And those three would be, in order of significance that were involved, Michael Flynn, Steve Bannon, and Roger Stone.
Correct. And also recall that Steve Bannon tried to rehabilitate Jeffrey Epstein. Robert Kennedy also flew on Epstein's jet. And I know that Michael Flynn was heavily involved with working on Zionist causes. I think he was working with a group that wanted to, track down dissidents and be able to make them ripe for elimination by the government. So yeah, these are really bad characters, and I think Roger Stone has promoted Michael Flynn as a potential presidential candidate, and also Robert Kennedy as a potential presidential candidate, and you have Steve Bannon, who at one point after he was released from the Trump administration wanted to promote Hillary Clinton as a presidential candidate, and then Mark Cuban, the billionaire who stumped for Hillary Clinton, and of course the Clintons have always been. Have always enjoyed a strategic alliance with the Kennedys. So you see at the end of the day, it's one big happy political family where they're all working with each other to promote the agenda. And by being, by providing that service, they in turn are promoted, professionally and receive, their just compensation.
It makes it even more interesting if it's true. And I state this as a rumor that Bill Clinton is the son of Winston Churchill, which would explain the Kennedy-Churchill-Clinton relationship.
That's a very good point. Yes, that's correct. He was the son, the biological son of Winston Churchill and Pamela Harriman. Pamela Harriman married Avril Harriman, who established the national security state, which George H.W. Bush, who is heavily involved, or he was before he died, heavily involved with promoting the interests of the pharmaceutical company within the United States.
So, Susan, I know you got a ton more research because you always do, but I think we have to take a moment to get a taste of my own medicine, pun intended, okay. Because I was talking about the freedom movement. We have the ability between the knowledge that you bring forth and what I know to get everybody understanding that the odds are against us, that we literally, as sovereign citizens, are fighting everybody who we thought was either forced or working against us. And I don't want anybody to say, we got no chance. We're toast. We can't fix this. I don't buy that for a minute, because no matter what the odds are, the truth is always on our side. It's a matter of finding a way to shed light on the truth, and which is why you risk what you're risking to come and be a part of this here program.
That's true. I think that the more that the truth is known, the less power that these elites will have, the less credibility, the less I guess moral authority that they will have. And there are very effective, I think, active populist groups. I don't know if you're familiar with Dr. Shiva,
I
who
am.
has you are. What are your thoughts on him and what he's done?
He has been he's been chastised and painted enough to verify to me that he is genuine, because as much as he makes sense, but then there's always somebody criticizing where he's been, what he's done, what he said, which leads me to believe that the guy must be somewhat over the target.
I saw an interview that he did last night with the fellow from the InfoWars. I can't remember his name offhand.
Alex Jones.
Not Alex Jones, but his the fellow who
Oh,
left,
okay.
David Knight. He was very much on target. I think he spoke with an integrity, has full clarity on what is happening within the pharmaceutical industry, what is happening with the Kennedys, and the shadow interests that the Kennedys represent. And he very effectively and accurately identified the Kennedys as being part of like a mob, part of a syndicate. And so the rivalry that we see on the public stage is mob versus mob, rivalry. But according to Shiva, he has already built a very strong grassroots movement that is taking on, the establishment. I don't know how far that has gone. I don't believe he's still a presidential candidate, but I think he does have a, he does have a grassroots movement that he's established.
So, in full disclosure, in the past 3 years, as Bobby and I came back together, he was saying the right things. He'd contact me and had a genuine interest in agriculture, which nobody else does, that's campaigning for a national stage. And I was beginning to think, given the choices we have, Bobby might be the right one, because we don't have a choice, period, for president of the United States in 2024. But in the last 6 months, he started getting a little wonky, and he wasn't staying true to the convictions. In other words, seemed to be pandering to what people wanted to hear instead of saying the truth. And then he verified that he is in no way, shape, or form fit to be president of the United States when he named who he did to be his vice presidential running mate, who's part
Google,
of
yeah.
the globalist economy.
Yeah, she's the wife of a former or founder of Google, ex-wife. And of course, Google was established using technology that was stolen by Larry Summers, former head of Harvard, former economist for the World Bank, who established the shock therapy strategy in Russia that essentially created these Russian oligarchs, and once they ascended into power, they then linked with all these other global transnational crime networks who are trafficking drugs and laundering money around the world. So I think the Google as a search engine is tied into the agenda of the technocracy, which is also part of the crime syndicate. So he has essentially aligned himself with with that power structure.
He aligned himself with the very people that he gives lip service to taking on.
Correct, that's correct.
Hypocrisy is our great challenge. But again, I don't lose any faith whatsoever that we win this battle, because I guess because I'm centered in what's most important, and that's on this post-Easter week, has to continue to be whether it's Easter week or not. That Jesus came for us, and that is the ultimate light. And we remain focused on what the true light is, and all these little issues just kind of go away.
They do. And I think Dr. Shiva was saying that about 30% of the people have complete integrity, and that those are the people who will very rigorously stand by the truth. And those are the people, like you and me, who hopefully will be making the difference. And I think there are about maybe 20% who try to see where the wind is blowing, and then we'll align with one or the other side. And maybe the rest might be more opportunistic, or seeing, how they can align themselves best to advance themselves, regardless of the impact of the country or others. But I think if we stand with our truth and integrity, others will join us, and we'll create momentum, to really make effective changes, positive changes.
Well, at the end of the day, Susan, one thing that I'm never confused about is that there is no election, because we don't have elections anymore. We still have a selection process. We haven't begun to
Yes.
fix that. And so there's no election or selection that's going to fix what's going on. We have to figure out how to tear down this federal government and start over. And I keep saying that without a plan on how exactly that happens, but that is the answer.
That's true. And I think by voting, you're essentially giving consent to that elected official to operate and to act on your behalf when they have no interest in acting on behalf of your private interests. And I think at this point, the government is a corporation. So they're acting as a corporation, not as a representative government.
Which brings me back to last week's discussion that I didn't get in front of enough people outside of my radio audience, and that is that we, the sovereign citizens, demand that this debt be what's the word? Repudiated,
Repudiated, excuse
because
me.
we do not consent.
That's true. And I think you had asked what venue would be available to challenge unauthorized or illegitimate debt. And I don't know whether I had said this or not. I should have if I didn't, but it should be the International Court of Justice at The Hague. So if any attorneys have a strong basis in international law, accounting, and these issues that we're talking about with the repudiation of debt, hopefully they will get in touch, or they will take the necessary steps, or guide us on the necessary steps that are needed to do this.
We have just enough time for you to remind us about your books and where to get them, Susan.
Hey, thank you. You can find my books through and my blog through my website, susanbradford.org. And I also hope your audience will join me on my Substack, because I am providing a lot of background, a lot of depth on our establishment through that Substack. I'd love to have your audience join me there. And that can be linked in through my website, again, susanbradford.org.
Taking on the establishment. That is the ultimate plan we come up with. Thank you, Susan Bradford. Always a
Thank
pleasure.
you so much.
We have
Pleasure.
successfully journeyed down that path, connecting food producers to food consumers. For Susan, I'm Trent, reminding you that all roads do lead to a roll route. It's time to talk about the heart and soul of America and who touches that heart and soul. Greg Hager. Greg Hager is Country Music Entertainer of the Year. Greg Hager is a real cowboy. A cowboy at heart and a Christian at heart. And Greg Hager's songs keep this nation in boots. And it's boots that tap into our roots. I said that actually backwards. Just seeing if you're paying attention. Pay attention to Greg Hager. GregHager.com. Order an album or invite him to your event today.